If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on that foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on that foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. In the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, verse 22, we read, "Once like pure silver, you have now become worthless slag. Once so pure, you are now like watered down wine." Lately, if you are part of the Menominee Church, you know on various levels, both on Wednesdays and Sundays, we have in, again, several instances talked about believers who have failed to continue, those who have failed to last, those who have started the race only to have dropped out before they completed. According to Paul the Apostle, actually, few of us will finish well. According to this passage, even those of us, many of us that will finish, we will finish again only as through fire. And there will be nothing left to our works because it was all hay and stubble. I wonder how we can go about building something that lasts, something that is built well, something that will endure. We live in a generation, certainly in this country, that I think knows little about that, about what it means to build something that lasts. I think many times we as believers are more concerned about the quantity of our faith, the machine, the actions, what we do instead of what we are. Certainly, these issues are not without merit. I'm not saying that it's not important to be serving and producing fruit for the kingdom. But I wonder if we are as, involved with what is the intrinsic quality of what we are building, not just the quantity. I've always been the kind of person that would rather buy one $100 pair of shoes than five $20 pair of shoes. But that's always the kind of the mentality. Many of us would just always would rather just go with the $20 pair of shoes because it's cheap. But we buy five times as many. Certainly, as I said, we live in a country, we live in an age that fails for the most part to appreciate quality. We want it fast and we want it cheap. Certainly in the fast food and in the stores that we frequent. So oftentimes we build our lives and we build our faith with materials that reflect those kind of priorities, that kind of standard in our lives and in our faith. This last week, Sharon and I was taking some classes down in Atlanta, so I was able to see a difference in the quality of construction up north versus that. In a part of the country where there's brick buildings that are 200 years old and cobblestone streets and things built with great quality. And I was struck by the fact that when you build something out of good materials, it lasts. It endures. We need to remember that the raw materials that one begins with, that's crucial to the product that we're going to have at the end. Many of you that even testified, you testified of that very thing. It wasn't that you were unchurched. It wasn't that you knew nothing of God. You were just building out of materials that did not endure. And once you began to do the opposite, once you began to build with materials of quality, the construction of your lives changed very much. In the spiritual realm, we must build our lives and our faith with the very best materials that we can find. We need to have a clear understanding of God. We need to understand His history and His instructions and His desires for us. God wants the best for us. I wonder how many of us are the kind of people that when we build something, we put something together that only at the end of that we have those few unexplained nuts and bolts left over. We're wondering, where would these go? Even after the project is finished. And you know what? In the spiritual realm, that can be a very, very bad thing. There are many believers, I think, that are running around these days with spiritual lives that are missing a few nuts and bolts. We've glued it together and we've stuck it together with Velcro. You know, like those Velcro shoes. Forgive me if you're wearing a pair. I can't get past that. I'm sorry. I just can't have Velcro shoes. And then, you know, I think that one of these days, when our lives fall apart and we don't understand what's going on and what's happening, it's because of the materials that we built our lives with. The fact it fell apart is a reflection of that. That we built our lives with shoddy materials. And it could be your marriage, it could be your family, your finances, even your mental and physical well-being. How does one build something well? Well, first of all, I'd ask, where are you getting the materials? We mail order everything these days, don't we? The other day I ordered something online and realized that it was coming all the way from China. So obviously it took a while. I wonder where we're getting the materials for our lives. I mean, are you getting your spiritual lives out of, you know, some clearinghouse, you know, mail order out of China? There is something we call OEM parts. You know, OEM parts. If you're into car work, you know that. You can always get the after factory or you can get the OEM parts. It's the original equipment manufacturer. OEM. Now, OEM parts are always just generally considered to be the best because they're made and provided by the original maker and by the original engineer. Are you going to God and to His church for what you need, or are you building your life like, and for those of you that have been there with me, are you building your life like a Philippines jeepney? They build those things in back alleys out of just hack parts that are just from here, there, and everywhere. Is that your life? I got this from a book. I heard this from a magazine article. I raised my kids because of an article I read or what somebody told me. I try to run my marriage this way. This is the way I handle my finances because somebody told me this. I mean, some of us are just a conglomeration of bits and pieces that we picked up from all over the place, and our lives show it. Will any church do for you today? You've heard from even those who are being baptized, that for them, just any church didn't do. We must realize that what we're being fed is critical to what we're ultimately going to build. If you're raising kids, I'm assuming you know that. I mean, what we're eating spiritually, is it the best that we can get? Is it the best that we can grow? Because if it is, then we're going to grow into healthy maturity. But if the church you attend and the church that you go to is building or is serving up something that is not the best, then you're going to be anemic and you're going to be sickly, at least spiritually speaking. When you build something out of quality, the measurements need to be exact. You know the old adage, you measure twice, cut once, right? Me, I better measure three times. The measurements need to be exact if you expect the aspects of that construction to fit together. And that's the way our lives need to be. We need to know that the measurements are exact if we expect to put these things together and have a quality build. That our lives are going to be healthy, our marriage and our parenting and our church life and our finances and all these aspects. You build it out of hack parts and that's the product you're going to get. I'm amazed that so many people feel that close is close enough. I think we need to get the best. We always need to reach for the best. Again, it seems that our mentality oftentimes is get the cheapest you can. Get the best deal you can find. And oftentimes we pick our church that way. Hey, you know, this church doesn't get all up in my face. This church is a little easier, you know. This church doesn't call me a sinner. This church doesn't condemn me. This church doesn't push me to serve. This church doesn't say that I need to put Jesus first. So I'm gonna pick this church over here. It's quote unquote close enough. I wonder, would you be okay to get your heart pacer at Kmart? No, when it really comes down to that, you kind of want the best, don't you? I mean, do you want the plumber with the shiny truck or the one with 20 years of experience? I think when we choose a church, then why is it that we look for issues like comfort and amenities and location and community prestige, all of which our churches have none of those, by the way? Not likely to get it either anytime too soon. When we build something, there needs to be a consideration. There needs to be consideration of things like knowledge and good teachers and good instructions. Lives that are invested. The right tools. Careful planning. Certainly, how you build something will determine how well and how long it lasts. I stand always in awe. I love old architecture. And when I go like to the Netherlands and stand in front of buildings that are hundreds of years old, or stood on that bridge in Prague that, what is that, 1300s? And it's still standing? Our bridges fall down now. And it all comes down to how well we build things. Life has a way of getting long, gang. Will you make it to the end? Let me share some things. I don't expect you to turn to all these. I'm going to rapid fire through some passages. So just listen to me here. Signs of a poorly built house. In Luke chapter 6, we know the story. And the fact that a house falls over in the midst of storms, because in Luke 6... he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the floods rose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the streams beat vehemently and it immediately fell. And the ruin of that house was great. I love to come together with you at these campouts and to rejoice in our community that we have. But maybe it's just the pastor and me, but my mind always goes back to who is not here any longer. Who sat here amongst us that is not sitting here amongst us. And they're gone. They're out. They crashed. And it really comes down to the fact that they did not build with the right materials. It was good for a while, but not for the long haul. In 1 Corinthians 3, it talks about the inability or the refusal to receive strong doctrine. That's another issue. The inability or the refusal to receive strong doctrine. It was testified by those who were baptized that, you know, they all could seem to have a story how somebody, well, kind of got up in their face. I don't make any apologies for that. We're not going to tell you everything's okay if it's not okay. That may not be the fastest way to build a church, but it is the way to build a church at last. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us another sign of a poorly built house is that we do not have any answers. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us we need to have an answer for every man. Do you have the answers today? Matthew 26:56, where the disciples were sleeping in the garden. Their sign was the inconsistency of their walk. Does that sound like your life? Is your life and your faith consistent? When you reach down and turn that key, is it going to start and start every time? For years, all me and Sharon ever drove was VW Bugs. And it was always a gamble. You never knew for sure. When you turn the key, would it really start? I get tired of that. I want a car that starts now. But many of us, again, inconsistency. 1 Timothy 3:4 through 5 speaks of family problems. It says, he must manage his own family well with children who respect and obey him. For if a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? Another sign you're not built well. Family problems. James 1:26 speaks of the tongue. Inability to control your tongue. Anger issues. Do you feel like you need to speak whatever comes to your mind? By the way, if you struggle with that, I feel for you. I'm with you. When I went to class this week, the last thing my wife said as I left the room, she goes, "Now don't fight with them." Okay. James 2:17 speaks of works. Is there service? Is there works in your life? Not because that makes you saved, but it's a sign that you are saved. It's a sign that the Holy Spirit is in you, because the Holy Spirit certainly is an idol. The Holy Spirit wants to glorify the Father. And so if the Holy Spirit is in you, you will produce fruit. That's not something that has to be forced. Mary and Martha in Luke 10 speaks of the lack of one-on-one spiritual time with Christ. That's another sign that you're not built with good materials. You're not spending the time with Christ one-on-one. This church cannot be the whole of your relationship with God. I assure you, if it is, you will not last. There is mistakes in our construction as we grow that can be detrimental to our lives and detrimental to the final product. One is self-absorption. That's a big issue today in the United States. We are incredibly self-absorbed. If it's good for me, it's good for you. And so what I'm doing, I'm involved with me, my happiness, my joy, my peace, my mind, my money, my time. It's all about me. You must realize that that's the opposite of what it was with Christ. For him, it was all about us. And he was God. So if you have an island mentality this morning, if you are actively avoiding fellowship and accountability and you're living that me-centered life, you need to realize something. God is the architect. He does not need us. Again, the testimonies we heard this morning, those who have allowed God the lordship position of their lives. The second thing I think that if you fail to worship, that is a difficult thing to get past. If you fail to worship, you are building with bad materials. God is awesome. You know how you could hold Annabelle and not go, "Oh God, you are awesome." How you can look at the stars that we've seen the past couple nights here and worship. To stand in awe of what God has done. Just me standing here looking at you, my heart is worshipful because I know that ultimately all of this is because of Him. Some of us are hard-hearted this morning. We've planted our feet and we know God is speaking to us and we will not hear Him. We will not listen. But what happens is sooner or later, life comes looking for us. Near where I lived in St. Paul for many years, I was saddened to watch the news the other day that somebody lost control of their car and ran into the front of this building. And it's this awesome corner building, architectural, great building. They said, well, now that that crash has made the building unstable, they're going to have to condemn it, tear it down. So you can do all you want, but that car's coming for you. Cars run into us. Life runs into us. Death, sickness, financial issues, all sorts of things are coming. If you're not built right, you won't survive it. Many of us are just simply worldly. Now let me warn you right now, you may be sitting and you think, oh no, that's not me. I'm a Christian, I go to church, I'm not worldly. And I believe the devil plays us with that. We think, well, I'm not out, you know, buying high-dollar cars and a big house and chasing wine women and song. I'm not worldly. Oh, guys, there are so many things that can get you even as a believing Christian. How many of you that are here, God is not first, your family is. That's idolatry. That's sin. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that includes your wife, your husband, your kids. But it's the American way, isn't it? It may be, but it's still sin. And we can justify it, but it's not right. It's worldliness. That's the way of the world, not the way of Christ. And we can get very much involved in so many different things and justify them in our heart and mind. But we are building something that will fall apart. One day we will pay. Sometimes we have a lack of follow through. I am blessed by those who will come and be baptized today. They are pushing forward. They are following through. Many of you have come, you've got saved, you've got involved, and you got baptized, and you became covenant members, and you became servants in the Lord. And then some of you, I had to send off to Duluth. So that's the ultimate. That's where you go last. It's like purgatory. But I mean, God, you've all went through, and I've watched you all step through those things. And you must realize, those of you that are, go to Duluth. You need to understand your pastor stumbled into church just like you did. I didn't pick him up at the doors of Dallas Seminary. My first thought when I saw him slump down in that seat that day, the first time he ever here, was like, he will never come back here again. This is the one time he'll be here. Follow through. One of the things that we need to be concerned about on our building is our emotions. If you go to Menominee, you know you hear this a lot from me. Nowhere in the Bible does it say follow your emotions. That's a very dangerous philosophy. We need to be very careful about our emotions. We need to control our emotions. You know the story of David, and you know what happened when he followed his emotions and his passions. And it cost him dearly. And he was an absolute believer and follower of God when he did it. Laziness. How's that for some of us? We're just lazy. Aren't you glad our Savior wasn't lazy? But laziness is bad materials. I want to encourage you this morning that you build your lives out of quality materials, and they are available. It's up to you to take the time and the expense and the due diligence to build your house out of the right materials. We do all we can as a church and as a movement to provide you with those materials. But it's up to you to eat the right food. Now, I realize when we talk about eating the right food, this is the bad time to do that. I've saw what you people have been eating all weekend. Okay. Wow. On the way out, we'll give you the insulin. I think we... Yeah. We need to learn to deal with each other as God deals with us too. We try to do that as a church. But the church is you. It's not me. You need to know that. It's not just a matter of how I treat you as your pastor. It's how we treat each other with honesty and with truth. And we're committed to telling each other the truth. There needs to be some discipline. There needs to be some obedience. God gave us His book of building codes. Are we following the building codes, or are you shortening it? There's a reason He gave us this instruction. And again, I know that I'm preaching to the choir, but fellowship and counsel is critical. It's very important that you make yourself vulnerable. I appreciate what was said in the testimonies about how people spoke into their lives, and it wasn't always easy to hear. I'm sure it wasn't easy to say. But true love involves facts and the truth, and I wonder if we really understand that. See, I can stand up here and I can make you feel good, or I can tell you the truth. And sometimes it's one and the same. Sometimes it's not. I think about how Jesus spoke to the people that He spoke to that's recorded in the Gospels. I think about how the rich young ruler walked away sad, and Jesus did not accommodate him. He didn't soft pedal it. He didn't look for an easy way. Somewhere along the way, we have left that principle. And lastly, I want to tell you that you need to be personally involved in this. I am doing my level best. I know that Justin and Jonah also, and all of the staff pastors that we have, I know we all do the very best to give you the very best. And I promise you that it'll do you no good to stand before the Master one day and say, "Well, they just didn't tell me." Oh, yes, we did. Yes, we did. Ultimately, this is between you and the Master. You will stand before Him and you will answer to Him. God has given us this wonderful, precious thing called life. And it's good. Today we are out here in God's great big church. And we can feel the breeze and hear the wind. We're alive this morning. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today. That's what we have, gang, today. Today we're here. Today we're alive. Today we're together. Today we're free. That may change tomorrow. Will you survive it? What are you built out of? Is the materials in you good? Or are you the $20 pair of shoes with Velcro? God loves you today. And He wants the very, very best for you. And we as a church, we want the same. The decision is, as always, yours. Let's pray.